If not, then let us join our hearts together. And as we move forward and seek His blessing at this time upon all that has been offered, if you have that unspoken request, just a hand up and down as we come forward. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our failings, our step off the path, and lead us back in. Let us know every day, every morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see, that you are there, that as we cry out to you, you hear us and you lift us up. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving us. Because without that forgiveness, we are doomed. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with so many things to talk about, so much happiness. We've said it once, we'll say it again and again. A birthday is not just another day. It's a day that another miraculous creation was made. And we celebrate it. Thank you. Watch over and keep us, Father, in our frailties, in our ailments. Be with those who are unable to be with us today. Margaret and Jean and the others that aren't able to be here. Anna, keep her lifted up in your prayers as well. Father, watch over them. Watch over those who travel today and will be traveling in this time to come. And as we get prepared for Wednesday evening, for our Thanksgiving evening service here, let it be full, abundant, and joyful unto you. Remember, this country founded upon Christ still is thankful. Be with the nation of Israel, Father, as they struggle. Lift them up and protect them. We know it's written in your word that you will. Be with those that are losing so much from these devastating attacks. The leadership, Father, that is of this country. Make sure they are reminded, one nation under God. They fail too. We've seen that. They need you more than ever. We pray that this country restores you back to your proper place. Father, watch over and keep those who protect us, who watch over, who serve us. In all the capacities, whatever that is, wherever they may be. Hear them as they stop to pray during their day. And be with those who seek you constantly. To draw themselves up out of hurt. To draw themselves up where they have been brought down, Father. Lift them. Bind us together. Have us pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from temptation. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Baltimore, where I work, there is a street that is 5 lanes wide. Now that's odd, isn't it? Usually it's 4 lanes, 2 on each side, or 6 lanes with a divider, or whatever it is. There is a street in Baltimore that I routinely go across that is 5 lanes wide. It is unusual. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they put turn lanes in it. And in the morning, the street is sectioned off by street lights. Little lights that hang up in amongst the wires as you go underneath with a green arrow or a red X. If the green arrow's on, you can be in that lane. If the red X is on, you best not be in that lane or you're going to meet the other car. There's no dividers. It's quite an interesting trip in rush hour to go down there and see who ain't paying attention. I pay attention. But this past week, as I was traveling that road, I happened to look back and see a car in the other lane. And I looked up to see that that car was in a red X lane. it was traveling the wrong way into rush hour traffic. It became rather exciting for a moment. I watched, hoping. At one point, I thought, if he tries to pass me, I'm going to cut him off before he kills someone. And I looked away for a minute, and I saw him go by. And then suddenly I saw where he realized where he was, and he slammed on the brakes, and he fell back into line just before he went headlong into a parked car waiting to make a left-hand turn. There are signs everywhere on that road advising you to follow the directions of the arrow. That when they're lit, it's only one way. Only one way. That when you're being pointed in that direction, it's only one way. And it got me thinking. Brothers and sisters, how often do we try to go the wrong way? How often do we find ourselves slipping off and not paying attention? Open your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews is giving us a snapshot well after Christ has gone on to be with the Father, but he's reminding us of something that we should never forget. Two things in these verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. In the 11th verse, we read these words, day after day. Now you should pay attention to this, because it's going to tell you something. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I shall remember no more. And when these laws have been, and when these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Powerful set of scriptures right there. Let's ask God's blessing as we delve into them. Father, break open our hearts. Stop our minds from thinking about what's outside those doors waiting for us, and let us dwell in your word and in your spirit today, never moving until we have received that fullness of measure. Let the pouring out be your message, that we may fill up and pour out, that they may fill up and pour out. Father, thank you for this time. Help us as we seek to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, amen. Amen. Powerful set of scriptures in two parts telling the same thing. There's only one way. One. Now listen, I know a lot of people think that this person you see before you is on a genius level of mentality. I know that you think in your hearts that I'm probably the smartest man you've ever met. Stop laughing. The truth is, I am not really a learned person, unless it's about tractors or motorcycles or gas engines. And then I know a lot, but I'm not a learned person completely. But I am reading more and trying to find ways to strengthen my knowledge and my understanding of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't take away from one simple fact. There is only one way. None other. That guy in that car was about to ride into a horrible destruction. If he'd hit the car he was at, we'd have been over top of a bridge and it'd have got real exciting. There's only one way. There's only one way. Only one way. But more often than not, I am asked that question. How many people have ever had this question asked of them? And maybe you haven't, because I'm a big mouth preacher. It tends to come at me more often. But how many times have you been asked this question? So you believe in Jesus, right? You ever been asked that question? You ever been asked the rest of that question? So that's it. You just believe in Jesus. And how about the final part of it? So because you believe in Jesus, everyone else is wrong. You ever been asked that backup question? Do you know how to respond to it? Kind of makes you feel for a second, doesn't it? Kind of stops you in your tracks. Well, questions I get to make. All the people who die that don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell then, right? All the other religions in the world will not see anybody any other way to get into heaven. None of those people in all these other religions and all the rest of the world will ever make it into heaven. Right, Paul? Well, all there is Christianity. That's all there is to get to heaven. What makes you so right? Oh, that's the one I love. Because then the little eyeballs and the blood starts to flow and the old Paul starts to bubble. A God of love is who we have, and he would let nothing happen to his precious children. Paul Letterman, you're looking at me right now today saying, there's only one way into heaven? Well, yes. Does anybody in here disagree with that? I didn't think so. But the world don't get it. They don't understand that there is only one way. And they look to us for the answers of it. They look to us trying to find out what it is that we see that is so different. I don't know how many religions there are in the world. I know that in the Hindu religion, there is something like 500 different gods. They have a god for everything. And they have to pray to them all when they're in their presence a certain way. But when you ask a true Hindu how they get into heaven, it's by praying to all them gods. Buddhists, they look for the inside. They look for a purer way of living. They look for a more healthier consciousness. But when you ask them about Jesus Christ, well, and that's the question you have to start asking. It's a question I get asked. Who was Jesus Christ? Son of God. What makes him the Son of God? And he was born that way. I didn't have anything to do with it. The Bible says it. I've read it. I believe it. Do you believe it? Amen. Hallelujah. But we lose track when people start to come at us with those questions. Because when you start to think about it, perhaps maybe you forget how simple it is. There is one way. Through Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer is laying it out before us. You can offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice again and again and again and again, and it will never make you pure and clean. You can be the richest man on the face of this planet. I don't care who you are. And you can give hundreds of thousands of dollars every week to charity, trying to find a way to make you seem like a good person. But if you don't believe in Jesus Christ and take him as your personal Savior, you are not going to heaven. You are not going to be saved. Amen? Amen. We have to remember that. Because at times, even us Christians, and it was interesting that a comment was made during Sunday school this morning, we slip away from it. We fall off of it. The Hebrew writer is saying, if you back up a little bit, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. It says day after day, the priest comes. Then one priest, Christ, had offered himself as a sacrifice. One sacrificed and took our sin away for all time, dying right there. Nailed to a cross, he stepped up. Only one way. Green arrow. Not a red X. He stepped up there and he said, I'll do it. And I love what the Hebrew writer says. When he got done, when he finished his mission and he was called up into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of his Father at the throne of God, and he is waiting for what? For his enemies to be made his footstool. I love that kind of writing. Almost makes you kind of feel, you know, brave, doesn't it? Chest kind of puffs out a little bit. What do you think of that? But the truth of the matter is, his enemies will fall before him. They will fall before us. It goes on to write that by only one sacrifice is made perfect forever. I don't want you to forget that. He made a covenant. But if you go down to verse 17, and this is one that we should pay attention to for the week to come. If you go down to verse 17, then he adds, the Hebrew writer writing he means then Jesus adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. You're done sinning. When you came to me, when you fell in front of me, when you accepted me as your personal Savior, Jesus says, your sins, yourself, your old person is gone. Amen. Only one way. Green arrow, right? No red X. But we lose sight of it. We lose track of it sometimes because the world doesn't like the fact that we look at things with such a narrow-minded, black and white, only one way attitude. Well, that's the way I look at it. And the way I look at it is because that's what the book says. And the book says that because God told them that's what I want you to write. You know what today is? November the 18th. Does anybody know what today is? Am I the only one? That's because I'm smart. That's because my wife got me a calendar that says it. Today is Bible Sunday. Did you know that? I don't even know what that means. I thought it was funny. Isn't every Sunday Bible Sunday? But they pointed it out on a calendar today, and it got me thinking, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that what's written in here is pure and perfect and will never be wrong. And it's a hard question to answer. Yes, if you don't believe in Christ as your Savior, you're not going. There's no other way. There is no other way. And I'm not judging anyone. Because believe you me, I was on that red X path. I was going my way. My way was the fun way. I got to do whatever I wanted, be whoever I wanted, do. I got to sleep late on Sundays. Well, until we had them twin boys, and that pretty much ended that forever. I got to do whatever I wanted to. And it filled nothing. Because there's only one way to happiness. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one way out of this mess. There's only one way. The Beth Moore study, unfortunately, my wife loves me enough that she influenced me with that and made me listen to it. But Psalms 40 says it all right there. You lifted me out of the slimy pit and you cleaned me up. And there's only one way to do that. That's belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that is it. Period. Bang. Any argument? I didn't think so. But it's hard to say in today's world. But that traffic light was quite clear. You drive in this lane, not this one. Jesus Christ is quite clear. You follow me out this way. John 14:6 says what? Anybody do it by memory? No. I am the way, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Want to say it together? Let's say it together one more time. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is there any other way to interpret that? That's right. There's only one way. But now here's the hard part of it. Persevering through it. Here's where the encouragement comes from. Ignace Jan Paderewski. I practiced on that one so I could say it right. I even looked up how to speak it. Was a famous Polish composer, pianist, and he was once scheduled to perform in a great concert hall here in America in an area that was high society. You know, pinky up when they take a drink. It was an extravaganza. In the audience was a mother with, of all things, a fidgety 9-year-old boy. I am quite familiar with fidgety 9-year-old boys. God has a sense of humor and gave us two of them. She couldn't keep him. She got tired. The boy did what every boy will do when they're 9 years old. The minute mommy or daddy ain't looking, they snuck off. The boy snuck off. He got himself up somehow to the stage and got to the great Steinway piano that was sitting up there. And without notice from the audience, he sat down at the piano stool and began playing chopsticks. That's what I would have done. Dun, 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 dun. Because that's all I know. Only takes two fingers. The crowd became crazy, yelling for the boy to get off the stage, hollering at him, throwing things up there. Get that boy away from there. And suddenly, Ignace Jan Paderewski heard the words and the uproar, and he turned to see what was going on and saw this young boy scared out of his mind as hundreds of people were yelling at him. He's playing chopsticks. He's now stuck. He doesn't know what to do. He threw on his coat and rushed out to the stage and stood up behind the boy and put his arms around him and reaching in between. While the boy began to play that, Ignace Jan Paderewski began to improvise against it and build a concerto right then and right there. Reaching around, he leaned in the boy's ears and kept whispering in him, keep going, don't quit, give up, don't stop, we'll do this together. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to you. When you are getting beat down by this world, don't stop. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the green arrow, I am the only way to heaven. I will support you, I will lift you up, and I will take you through. Amen! It's simple. And I love simplicity, because I'm a simple person. Wait a minute. That didn't come out quite right. I like simplistic things. My wife and I were having a discussion on the way over here about how much I love change. And she told me I was not quite telling the truth when I said how much I love change. I love change. I love change in my pocket. The truth is, it's very simple. Verse 19, back in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what that means? Do you know what the most holy place was? That was the inner part where you and I were never allowed to go into the temple. But Jesus Christ's death took away that curtain forever. We are now allowed to be entered into that place right there with Him. We don't need somebody to pray for our sins. We don't need somebody to sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ already did that and says, come to me, I'll hold you close. It says, therefore, with confidence, we have confidence to enter that place. By a new living, a new way, we were opened through the curtain. The curtain was His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us. Persevere is what the Hebrew writer is saying. Going down to verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We have to persevere. John Wesley, the great preacher, if you've ever read any of his books, and I am sure that when we all get to heaven, we'll be hearing from him, But if you've ever read any of his books, they found a page from his diary, and his diary goes something like this, and it made me laugh out loud when I read it, because I could see this being me. It says, "Sunday morning, May 5th, a.m., preached in St. Anne's, was asked never to come back. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached in St. John's. Deacon said, quote, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said, don't you ever come back here. Sunday p.m., preached in the street, was kicked off the street. May 19th. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during the service to get me away. Sunday morning, June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday, June 2nd, p.m., afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came to hear me. Don't stop. Stay on the path. Only one way. Don't stop. That's what we're being told of. That's what we're being led to. It's going on to say there. And don't you stop. Grab a hold of your brother or your sister sitting next to you and encourage them. Stay strong in the faith. Lift them up. Tell them, hey, I'm praying for you today. Something's going to happen to you, and you're going to need my prayer, and you got it. That's what the Hebrew writer's saying. Don't just sit still with what you have been given. Persevere through it. Don't pay attention to those people that are trying to take you down, because they're not going to do it. Not if you stay strong in the faith. Not if you keep going. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, I think that this ought to be at the front of every church. Matter of fact, I might have to figure out a way to do this. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what that verse says? Go to church! I've heard it said, you ain't got to go to church to be a Christian. Nope. You got to go to church because you're a Christian. Going to church won't make you one. Going to church will let you be one. The Hebrew writer is saying there in that verse that some people have quit meeting together, figuring that they can get through this on their own, and they can't. Not only do you need him, but you need this. You need this. There's only one way, brothers and sisters. There's only one way. Subject to all of this, Charles H. Spurgeon, probably the greatest evangelist ever. From the words in the pulpit of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, said these words. I want you to hear them. I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, and I'm going to echo it, this house, meaning Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. I am never ashamed to avow myself a Calvinist. I do not hesitate to take the name of Baptist. But if I am asked, what is my creed? I reply, it is Jesus Christ. My venerated predecessor, Dr. Gill, has left a theological heritage admirable and excellent in its way. But the legacy to which I would pin and bind myself forever, God helping me, is Jesus Christ, who is the arm and substance of the gospel, who is in himself all theology, the incarnation of every precious truth. Amen. He echoes what it says in Jeremiah, which says what? As for me and my house, we shall worship the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there is only one way. One. Think about that as we head out this week. Look for that green arrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless us with your presence now. As we prepare to depart from here today, bless us, Father. As we prepare to go back out into the world, bless us, Father. As we prepare to break apart, let us not forget the words that the Hebrew writer has given us. Let us continue to meet. Let us spur one another. Let us promote and encourage. Let us take from here this message and fasten it to our coat lapels and put it upon our heart and wear it on our sleeve so that when somebody says, are you a Christian? Yes, I am a child of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to salvation and the only way to everlasting life. And He is the only way to our eternal reward. Father, remind us in every moment, only one way. Be with us as we prepare to meet the world. Give us your favor that we may minister to those who are lost and lift up those who seek out. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you have a particular need this morning and you need that power of extra prayer, come on up. If you need me to pray with you, let me know, but come on up. As we prepare for this last hymn, as we go out that door and prepare to meet the world again, let us not forget only one way.
Please stand and turn to number 552.